This morning we continue our series of the songs of Christmas. Dion and Brendan have led us up until this point. And so this morning we're going to focus on Zechariah's song recorded for us in Luke chapter 1. So we're going to have a look at this song in Luke chapter 1. But before we get to that song, I want to just take us back to the start of Luke chapter 1. And we're going to read a section from Luke chapter 1, picking up from verse 5. So I'd ask you to read with me. In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." That's fairly diplomatic. The angel said to him, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you to tell you this good news. And now you'll be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at an appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting outside for Zechariah, wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Zechariah at that time was one of about 18,000 priests living in the nation of Israel. There were a lot of priests, and because there were so many, some would live out in the country. But twice a year, for 1 week at a time, a division, an order of priests, would be called to Jerusalem to serve in the temple. Luke also draws our attention to the fact that Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were very good, godly people. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God. They sought to observe all the Lord's commands and decrees. They weren't perfect, but they sought to do their very best to obey God. And this is really important. They took God seriously. And then Luke carries the story a little bit further and gives some background information. They were an old couple and they were childless because Elizabeth was unable to conceive. In that culture, in that day, this probably carried a degree of shame with it. The idea that God, for some reason, was withholding a blessing from them. They had longed for a child And it is obvious from the text that they had prayed for a child. And the story continues. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord, to go into the Holy of Holies and to burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense, all of the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Now, it's only when you read around this and you read into this that you understand that this was an incredible honor. It was a really big deal. Zechariah had come to his duties for a week in Jerusalem, and he is the one priest chosen who is to carry incense and the prayers for the redemption of Israel and the coming of the Messiah into the Holy of Holies. He is the one priest that is chosen. Now, I'm sure that he probably had some ideas about what was going to happen when he went into the Holy of Holies. He may have sat and listened to other priests who had been chosen previously as they told of their experiences. But nothing could have prepared him for what came next. And I like this next part. He goes into this very sacred space, a place that very few got to go into, and he encounters an angel. And he is startled. And the Bible says that he is gripped with fear. And that's fair enough. That's understandable. Despite being devout, despite being very open to God, this would have been quite a start. This would have been quite a shock. An angel. And you need to remember that Zechariah is not a young man. And the angel says to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah." And then this next section is fascinating. The angel says to Zechariah, "Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. What you've been praying for, is about to happen." And Zechariah's response is, "How can I be sure of this?" He's been praying for this. He's been asking God to intervene. He's been asking God to bless his wife. And an angel turns up in the Holy of Holies and says it's going to happen. God has heard your prayer and Elizabeth will have a son. And Zechariah's response is, "I'm not sure about this. You know we're old, don't you? I need more. I need a sign." I can almost imagine Gabriel saying, "What is the matter with you? I'm the sign. I'm the sign. I'm the angel. What more do you want?" He's been praying for this. He has been praying to the God he says he takes seriously, and now it's happening. And his response is, "Wait on. I'm not sure how this works." I have a friend. He serves at a really good church that is being used by God in all sorts of amazing ways. And he was telling me that after certain services, they organise at their church for some of the children from the kids program to come to the front of their auditorium, their chapel, and to pray for people who come forward to for prayer. He said that they still have their prayer team down the front and they will pray for people, but they have the children on one side of the chapel and they announce that if you have a need, if you have a real need for healing, come and ask one of these children to pray for you. If you have a need for a big issue, come and ask one of these children to pray for you. And when he was telling me this, that seemed a little bit strange to me. The kids seemed to be getting the heavier stuff and the prayer team were praying for some of the lighter stuff. So I asked him why. And he said this, "We get the kids to pray for those things because they still expect something to happen." We get them to pray for those things because they actually expect something to happen. Today, after the service, at the end of the service, we will have some children that I have asked who will come forward. They will come down the front and they will fill the whole front of this front area. And today, if you would like prayer for healing, if you would like prayer for a sense of peace in your life or direction, or if you have a need for accommodation, you're invited to come forward and the kids will be here and they will have a parent with them. And they will simply ask your name and what it is you would like prayer for. And then very simply, they will pray for you. There's no gimmick. They will simply and humbly go to God on your behalf and they will pray for you. Back to Luke 1. Gabriel says, "Let me be clear on who I am in response to your asking for a sign. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, Zechariah, and I have been sent from that presence to speak to you and to tell you this good news. We are standing in the Holy of Holies, where for hundreds of years priests have been praying for the redemption of Israel and the coming of the Messiah. And so, Zechariah, you'll be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Zechariah is shut down. He's unable to speak and he comes out of the Holy of Holies, and those who are gathered outside realize something significant has happened. Zechariah had probably gone in that day, this old priest, nearing the end of his career, ready to do his duty, but not expecting God to show up, and certainly not expecting God to show up for him. But God does show up, and he shows up in an extraordinary way. Gabriel is there at God's command. He is there for Zechariah, but his news is far greater, far more significant. It is about God showing up for mankind. Luke goes on to say that after his week of service, Zechariah went home and his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. And 5 months into the pregnancy, she went into seclusion. Then in verse 57, Luke records that the time came for Elizabeth to give birth to her son. Luke says, "When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. They were going to name him after his father Zechariah, which was completely understandable in that culture. Usually firstborn sons were always either named after their father or someone in their lineage. But Elizabeth speaks up and says, no, he is to be called John. Somewhere in those 9 months, with his hand gestures and maybe with writing, her husband Zechariah had communicated that the son was to be named John. John means the Lord is gracious. Now the neighbors couldn't believe it because they said, there's nobody in your family with that name. And they almost argued with Elizabeth, you can't name him that. And they made signs to Zechariah to find out what he would like the child to be named. And he took a writing tablet and he wrote these words, his name is John. The next verse simply says, immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free and he began to speak. And what poured out after 9 months of silence, we have recorded as Zechariah's song. 9 months of being quiet, 9 months of listening, 9 months of noticing and paying attention to God, 9 months of humbling himself before his God. Zechariah was not the same person as the priest who had gone into the Holy of Holies. He'd come to realize that God's plan for salvation was becoming a reality in his lifetime, and that the miracle of his own son would be part of the preparation for the coming of the Messiah. And this song that is recorded in Luke 1 just pours out of him after 9 months of silence. And the main focus of this song is God's amazing, wonderful goodness in providing a way of salvation for his people. What pours out of Zechariah is just this praise for a God who would redeem, who would buy back his people, who would restore people to himself. Nancy Ortberg, in speaking about Zechariah's song, states that he starts off being overcome with thanksgiving to God. Second, he talks about the amazing deliverance from the enemies that God is putting into play with his plan. And third, he has a section that I call, "That's My Boy," because he wants to tell everyone the part his son will play in the preparation for the Messiah. And finally, he ends on the note of God's salvation through mercy and light. So let's have a look at this song. And let's put it in the context after 9 months of silence, after 9 months of noticing, after 9 months of humbling himself. This is what pours out of Zechariah. He says this: "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and he has redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us through the house of his servant David, just like he said he would. Salvation from our enemies and the hand of all those who have hated us through the generations, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy promise, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, and to rescue us from the hands of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all of our days. And then you, my child, my son, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. And this salvation through the forgiveness of sins is because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun into this darkness will come to us from heaven to shine on those who've been living in the darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel." The more you read Luke 1 and then come to Zechariah's song, the more it appears that Zechariah is definitely blown away by the miracle of his son. But just as incredible as that is, Zechariah is blown away by the amazing, wonderful news of a Savior, a Redeemer, the Messiah. He is affected deeply by what God is giving, a way that has been made for people to be restored back to God, which can go on forever. 9 months of silence has deepened his appreciation of God. It has given him insights that he would have normally missed. I was listening to a podcast recently, and the speaker asked the question, "If you were given an ironclad guarantee today that your next prayer would be granted, that it would be answered the way you wanted it to be answered, what would you pray?" If you were going to be given an ironclad guarantee that your next prayer would be answered the way that you wanted it to be answered exactly, what would you pray? He said not to rush your answer, sit and reflect. When he asked that question, I immediately thought I would pray for healing for me. I would pray that the cancer would go. That would be the prayer I'd ask. However, when I sat for a while, I realized that the prayer I would pray would be for my children and their partners and my grandchildren, that they would know and trust God always, and that they would be saved. That's the prayer I'd pray. And that's why this story of God becoming one of us, a baby born in a barn in Bethlehem, is such a big deal. Here is God's plan for salvation. For those that he loves so dearly, Here is God's plan of salvation for those that I love so dearly. Here is God loving me and God loving you. That's what I'd pray. I would pray for my children and their partners. And I would pray for my grandchildren that they would be saved. That they would take up this wonderful offer that God offers to all of us. Now, that doesn't mean that I wouldn't go and get people to pray for healing for me. I will definitely do that. I want to say to you that it's been a long year. But in the midst of a year where I have at times wondered and struggled, I have become so aware of God's goodness in ways that I've only ever talked about. I have continually encountered incredible generosity, kindness, and patience from within this community and the wider community that often makes no sense to me. I have seen God at work, and I have felt Him carry me, and I can't explain that any better than that. This Christmas, in the midst of all that will happen, I pray that you will come to appreciate the plan that God began unfolding in Bethlehem that first Christmas. A plan that involved getting you back, providing you a way back. This morning, during this last song, some kids and their parents will come forward. They will stand here. There will also be myself and Bagel. We'll stand on either edge. If you would like prayer this morning, we want to invite you to take up that opportunity. Zechariah went into the Holy of Holies, ready to do his duty. He turned up. But it would seem that he didn't expect that God was going to do much. It seemed that he turned up and he didn't think that God was going to turn up for him. What about you this morning? What about you this morning? Do you believe that he's here for you? Because he loves you. You are precious in his sight. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite you to stand, and Andrew will lead us in this long last song. And if you would like prayer this morning, we're going to give you that opportunity. Let's pray. Father, lots of times we talk about Christmas and we thank you for Jesus. But I really pray that at a very real level, we might understand what you allowing Jesus to come in the form of a baby means for all of us. Without that, without Jesus turning up, without him becoming a man and dying on a cross, there is no salvation, no way back, no way to be put right with you. So, Lord, I pray that we might appreciate this Christmas story in a different way, a real way. And help us to believe, Father, that right now you've turned up for us. You're here. And, Lord, I just pray that we would be open to what you want us to understand, but also to expect that you are able to do far more than we can even ask or imagine. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.